But also art is very subjective too. So like now when I'm critiqued on my ceramic work, like at a festival or something, I'm always keeping that in mind. Like my style isn't for everyone and that's okay. And just continuously remembering that. But then also taking that advice when I feel like it's when I feel like it's valid. So constantly weighing opinions, you know, like if I think that this would make my work better and that more people would enjoy my work because of this comment, then I might do some tweaking.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Intelligent Conversations podcast. Today, I have the honor to learn from Morgan McCarver. Morgan is an artist with an emphasis in ceramics. She's also an author of her most recent book, God the Artist. Morgan has won multiple awards for her work in her home state of North Carolina. This conversation was great. We got to talk a lot about creativity and kind of how to bring that out in everyone. And I still stand by the statement that I made in the show, and that's everyone is creative in some shape or form. We just need to find it. So without spoiling too much of it, without further ado, let's welcome Morgan to the show. I actually had a chance to take just an introduction class to ceramics, and I have mad respect, first of all, because that stuff's hard. I mean, the first part we did like this like etching stuff, and I did all right with that. But then when we got to the wheel, yeah, that's when I was like, maybe I'm not an artist. That's that's for
I
sure.
get it. The wheel is tricky, and I struggled with centering when I first started. So sometimes it just comes naturally for people. That was not me. And I remember, like, especially when I first started teaching, seeing those people who could just center naturally. I was like, man, you don't know what you have right there. You know, it's amazing.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I had someone else ending up doing my project for me because I was just, and that was actually during COVID. So I kind of got bailed out and we had to do like an
Okay.
online, like art history type of thing. So I
Okay.
was like, hallelujah. I can read,
Yeah,
but
there you go.
not when it comes to the wheel. Man, that I thought that was gonna be the death of me.
Uh-oh.
But no, it's great though. It was fun though. That was one of my more enjoyable classes. I enjoyed it.
Okay, nice.
But yeah, so how long you been doing this kind of work? I mean, I got a chance to briefly look at it, but
Yeah, that's a good question, and it's hard to answer. I technically started my business when I graduated in 2019, so that's kind of when Morgan McCarver Porcelain kicked off, and I was actually like selling things in that way. But I had started like playing around with ceramics about for I've been doing it for probably over 10 years now.
All
It's hard
right.
to say, just like taking classes here and there and different things, but it's I feel like it's always been ingrained in me ever since like when I was little playing with Play-Doh and things like that. Like, you know, you were always looking for creative outlets, so.
Yeah, especially the creative side of things. I didn't realize, I mean, that's the thing I disliked about schools. I kind of graduated. I was like, I am not an artist, but there's actually other forms of art out there. And I'm like, wait, like, doesn't necessarily just have to be ceramics or a painting. Oh, that's one. No, thank you. But like, there's other forms of like comedy, is one. I'm like, whoa, like, I didn't think of that. Or writing. Writing is very helpful.
Yeah.
But I mean, there's just other things that you don't even realize, like, oh, it's art and I enjoy it.
Yep. Yeah, there's creativity in just every different aspect of life, which is really cool to see how we try to compartmentalize things in our lives and say, like, you know, oh, this is math, and so it has to be this way, and this is science, and you know, there's science in ceramics, there's math in ceramics. I'm constantly trying to find the volume of a certain shape and all these things, and so I think we try to compartmentalize all of these different things, and it's really not that black and white. You know, there's creativity in all aspects, and there's some math and other aspects that you wouldn't think you'd have to do all this math for ceramics, but you do, you know, it's all in there.
No, I agree with that point for sure, because this is something I've been actually thinking about some. I think science, math, that kind of category of things, that those subjects just help you understand art on a deeper level. Art is just things that haven't been just like understood yet. Like when we look at something, it's like, oh, like that prompts something inside you and you're like, oh, I never thought of it like that. But then, like you said, you probably look at art way different now that you understand the math behind it and all that. And you're like, oh my, you look at a piece of work, you're like, whoa, how did they do that type of thing? Whereas yeah. maybe I'll look at it and I'm like, oh, that's pretty cool. Like, I don't have that deep understanding. Whereas, and I think that's where math and science actually helps, is it helps you get that deeper understanding of the art, right?
Sure. And like the more you know, the more you can like respect other masters in the field, you know, like mm-hmm. for welding or something, I might not understand fully, like I could still appreciate something that's been welded, but I don't know the, you know, metal smithing, blacksmithing that goes into that. I don't know what that takes. But from the ceramics side of things, I know everything that goes into that and the trial and error process and everything like that. And so I'm much more appreciative of other artists who are able to get some masterpieces because I understand what it takes to get that far.
Yeah. And it's good to have that respect, I think. I think that's important.
Sure. Yeah.
I do. And because, yeah, again, it's that deeper level that you understand, like, oh, this is what it takes to create something like a masterpiece that people will enjoy and look at. And yeah, I mean, this is something actually with a recent podcast host that me and podcast guest that I had on, and it was he did like this cool piano stuff. Craig, there we go. The phrase he used, he's like, art is just the expression of humanity. And then I'm like, I wanted to add on at the time, but I couldn't find the words for it. I'm like, and science and math is how you find it, right? Like, and yeah. pursue that. So it's, yeah. So you're also an author as well, right?
I am, yes. God the Artist, it actually releases January 9th, but it's available for pre-order now, and it is, it has taken me on a whole journey I had never really experienced before, never saw coming. So it's been great though.
So what are some of maybe the parallels? Because I consider writing art as well, but maybe some of the parallels of that you found between ceramics and writing your book.
There's, you know, like you said, it's another form of creativity, and I kind of get into that in the book, God the Artist. But there's a lot of similarities and a lot of differences that I find like within my own writing practice and studio practice. So there's like a preparation aspect of it, right? So you have to know what's going to happen or know a gist of what you're wanting to do, know how to plan for things. And so I do that for both aspects of things. But ceramics, I have a much more seasonal kind of schedule as to where I'm making a body of work and then I'm firing that work and then I'm glazing it and then I'm firing it again. And then I'm pricing it, packing it, taking it to shows or doing wholesale things. So there's a much more cyclical kind of flow to that. I'm cycling through different aspects of how that is working. And writing, it is that way for me, but it wasn't really quite that way. The cycle was much longer and there were a lot less steps in the flow. So I originally started writing in 2019 and I tried to get my first manuscript published then. And there was one publisher who kind of picked it up, but they really wanted me to like pay a lot of money to have someone else write, pretty much rewrite it for me. And the story, like, it was just, it, looking back, it was like, oh, that's so embarrassing that I wanted to get that published, you know, like, it was just not what it needed to be. And so that kind of got put on hold at the time. I was praying about it and just felt like the Lord was telling me I didn't have enough experience. And so I put that on hold and then actually revisited it. I felt the calling. Oh, sorry. I just.
Oh, no worries.
Felt the calling again in this past January. And so I reached back out, started rewriting and everything. And basically I pretty much rewrote the whole manuscript this past January. And it took about 2.5 weeks, and that was just me having that time and just really cranking out what I wanted to say. And then there was a cycle of editing, getting some peers to edit for me and hiring an editor to kind of format everything. But it wasn't the cycle of ceramics of that kind of birth and growth and finishing the pot and then starting back over with birth, you know, starting back over with the raw clay. It's a different cycle, you know, like once the book is finished, like the book is finished and now it's marketing and maybe I'll write another book, but right now I'm just trying to promote God the Artist that already exists, you know? And so it's a different flow. But I liked it. I like it at the time. And it's a great experience.
Yeah. I think that's cool. I know some of the difficulties, not maybe on the level you know, but it's hard work and you gotta put in the work to understand that. And this is kind of a question I had is you seem like a very creative person. So someone that may want to like find that creative outlet or find just even if they're creative, because I think everyone is, how would you kind of help them find that?
Yeah, that's a great question. And there's several ways to like unpack that, if you will. So I also believe that everyone is creative, and I go into that in the first opening chapters of God the Artist as well. I talk about we're all created by God in His image, and so God is creative. That's the first verb used in the Bible. God created the heavens and the earth, that's the very first instance of what's happening. You know, God is creating things. And so He naturally created us in His image and gave us that ability to be creative. And like you said, that looks different in different ways for different people. And it doesn't mean that we will all be the best at the creative outlet we have. And I think we can misinterpret that and say, I'm not creative because I'm not as good as him or her. And that's not what it's saying. It's saying we're all creative. And whatever that might look like. And so, just to find what you find joy in that creative process, like my parents signed me up for many different musical lessons, musical instruments. That's not where I find joy, you know, like that's not where my skill is. I don't enjoy practicing. I don't enjoy reading music. And so learning that about myself, like I could very easily say, oh, I'm not creative. But that's only one art form, right? Like I'm not musically gifted in that way, but I'm able to do ceramics. And so that's a completely different form of creativity that is still just as valid. So I would challenge the listeners, if you think that you're not good at something, maybe just try something else, you know? And if it's something that brings you joy that you say you're not good in, then either take classes, get better in that way, or stop being so hard on yourself. You know, I can look at a lot of potters who are better than me or farther along or more successful in their careers, but it doesn't disqualify what I'm doing. And so just constantly remembering not to compare yourself to others, but compare yourself to your past self. You know, have I moved forward? Have I grown? Have I experienced things in a new way? Have I learned anything? So there's so many different ways to look at that question.
Yeah, no, there is. Sorry, that was pretty broad, but I agree. No, and that's actually on that one part. What reminded me of is I actually like to try and write stuff down because that gives me a opportunity to kind of look back, because I'll be hard on myself and say, oh man, like you suck at this, you need to do better. But then when you look back and see what you wrote, you're like, okay, maybe we have got farther along than we thought. And the writing seems to be the way where I'll go and say, okay, I'll write some things down just to see. And it helps me. I'm like, oh, maybe we have got farther along. And I kind of enjoy it. It's like, oh, yeah, this is fun. But then, there's other stuff as well.
Yeah, that's true. And the beauty of writing, too, is you can always, like, keep changing things, keep editing things. Mm-hmm. Which is so different from ceramics, you know, like once it's fired, you can't really change it. It's gone through that chemical process. The particles are bonded together and you can't really tweak anything. It's pretty much over. And so that was a very different eye-opening experience to be like, if I wanted to, I could just never be done. This could always be a working draft, which was kind of terrifying in a way, you know, to like once you put it in the kiln, it's like, okay, whatever, it's going to be what it is. But writing, it's like, oh, I could always keep working on it.
Yeah, there's always that little bit more. You're like, oh, maybe I could phrase it this way. You're trying to find the right words to express what's going on in your mind. And That's yeah. And I want to touch back. There's so many things we could talk about here, but you talked about the first verse in the Bible, how God created. I never thought of it like that. I was like, whoa, like that is like created. And I just had the thought is like, if anything, we're his art. Like to him, he might be just chilling up there and saying, hey, like, I mean, I'm trying to, I tend to be sometimes more, I like to think, I appreciate, like we were talking about at the beginning, math and science. And the question I've been asking myself is like, okay, like if I were God, like what would I build type of thing? And I think what you build is the expression of yourself. And again, created, I think that's something. I never thought about that, so thank you.
Oh, sure, yeah. I mean, you know, whenever you make something, whatever it is, music or baking, whatever, that it feels like it's a part of yourself, right? And that's what a lot of artists say, too. Like, I put my soul into this piece. This piece is a mm-hmm. part of me, and that's why criticism for the art world is so personal, because it is like you're putting your feelings into it, or you're putting whatever, all this time, of course, but it's a more personal level of you're putting a bit of yourself into that. And so, of course, like God created us in that way. And he created us with a part of himself in us and a desire for us to know him more. And it's just a beautiful way. Like there's so many different Bible verses about God being the artist and him being creative and him being the potter. And so being able to see that symbolism from my side as a Christian ceramic artist and recognize like my relationship with the clay, whatever that is, how that is just as symbolic as me being the clay and now God is the potter. And so able to see both sides of that has been really neat.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, thank you for sharing that. And again, I think that I keep going back to the phrase of art expresses the humanity in us. It's like, it's just who we are, and we gotta, and it shows that each one of us is unique and we're designed differently. And I like the point that you touched on where sometimes in the art world, you take criticism pretty personally because it's right. It's the expression of you. So I'm curious on how you'll answer this, because there may be like entrepreneurs that want to build a product. And I would say I kind of fall in this lane, and right, you invest your soul into it, or in your case, you're investing your soul into like your artwork. When you do receive that criticism, like, hey, because essentially it's a product and people are going to criticize your product, how do you kind of, I guess, just keep like knock it off and keep going, or make adjustments if needed?
That's a great question, and I think that's something that I'll probably always have to tweak. It depends on the situation. I remember like back in school, cause I do have a degree in ceramics. And so we would have formal critiques, and, I went to a great school. It wasn't like people were just bullying you or anything. Yeah. It was a great environment, and they were all like helpful critiques. But I do remember like in areas that I wasn't very strong in, like drawing, for example, like I thought I did my very best. And of course my best isn't as good as the drawing major who's, you know, there mm-hmm. for drawing. And so those critiques would hurt, you know, like, man, like I tried my hardest on this. But also art is very subjective too. So like now when I'm critiqued on my ceramic work, like at a festival or something, I'm always keeping that in mind. Like my style isn't for everyone, and that's okay. And just continuously remembering that. But then also taking that advice when I feel like it's, when I feel like it's valid. So constantly weighing opinions, you know, like if I think that this would make my work better and that more people would enjoy my work because of this comment, then I might do some tweaking. Like for instance, people used to tell me like my handles, they didn't really appreciate my handles. And they were more like sculptural handle. So I kept that same cup design. But then I also made another cup that was more user friendly, if you will. And so they had a choice, and that's what I love about ceramics. You can always experiment and put something out for sale, see if people buy it. If they respond well to it, then you know you've got something, and just keep making that same product and going off of that. But every once in a while, I'll get a comment, like someone will walk by my booth and say something, and I'm just like, what? Like, what? I'm sitting right here. What? Like, you know, like, there'll be some weird references or something. But for the most part, it's really amazing just to see, you know, complete strangers come up and admire your work is very confidence boosting and an encouragement. So it can be great too.
That's true. I liked your focus, how you, especially at the end there where you said, like, when people do admire it, maybe focus on that. Like,
yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I tend to be hard on myself sometimes. And it's like, I appreciate criticism because it drives you to do better work. And I think everyone should do great work. But at the same time, it's like, if enough people are saying, hey, you're doing a good job, maybe it's actually like great work and it's good enough type of thing to, but I don't know. You're also in that constant, like, you want to improve, like you said, and experiment new things and see if there's something else that's maybe never been discovered or whatever it may be. So I'm curious, how does your process of coming up with new ideas, like, come to you? I mean, maybe specifically for ceramics, but even just like in general, like, how would you come up with new ideas to try out? And then, yeah, have the confidence to actually try it. Because sometimes it's like, oh, maybe this won't work, but actually have the confidence to try it and be okay with the failure.
It really depends on the item, and that's a great question. A lot of the times it is sitting at those festivals, because I'm there for, you know, 9-10 hours a day sitting there, and it's a really great time for me to watch how people respond to my work. How do they pick up this item, or are they too afraid to pick it up because it looks too fragile? Or whatever it might be, constantly kind of paying attention to that and taking in what could I change to make this better? What are they responding well to? What's selling well? What are some good comments? So for those out there who do like craft shows kind of like that, it's always nice to have like a larger ticket item. Even if that item doesn't sell, it's a great eye catcher and people will come to my booth seeing those more expensive and elaborate items. And even if they don't buy that item, they could buy other items along the way. And then I've got a following and they could be a return customer next year and be saving up for that higher ticket item. And so those are some ways to kind of pay attention to what's going on. But for like designing new cups and things, I work a lot with molds. And so I do throw on the wheel, but I also make my own plaster molds and I slip cast. So it's a kind of, it's an older technique from like the 1700s, but I'm making like a plaster mold that I'm able to get the same exact ceramic shape every time. And so it's more, it's a way to get the same shape more consistently for me. And I can work quicker in that way. It's more efficient for me. But when I commit to a shape, I am making a plaster mold of that shape. So it's not just making one and seeing how it does. I really have to know what I'm doing and know that this is the shape I want to go for. And so that does take a lot of consideration and planning. And sometimes I've gotten myself into situations like I've got a pumpkin mold that I just wanted to see how big of a pumpkin I could go. And the mold itself is 50 pounds. And so trying to maneuver that full of clay and, you know, it's things like that, that I go big or go home. And then I'm like, why am I doing this? You know? But people love the pumpkins. They've been a great eye catcher. They're a great display piece and people are really happy with them. And so it was a great risk that I took. But knowing that now, you know, I might change my plaster design or something to make a little bit more ergonomic mold. So I'm not killing myself in the studio.
50 pounds. Jeez. How big is this then?
It's big. It's a two-part mold, the way the pumpkin works. But okay. Basically, the bottom part is about, I would say it's about 35 pounds. And then we've got the top part. So, you know, when it's full of clay, I physically can't pick it up because 50 pounds is pretty much my limit. And so when it's full of clay, it's over 50 pounds. So I have it on a table and I've got this like a bucket propped in a chair and I've got to carefully like turn it over. And you know, I've come close to a couple disasters, but I've saved it at the end. So it's been okay.
That's all right. And you need those close calls because then you're like, oh, maybe we won't do that again.
Right. Yeah.
But I think that's cool. So what drove you to that style of You do like 1700s stuff. Like, what kind of drove you towards that style of ceramic or type of art?
Yeah, that's a good question. Basically, I didn't really discover slip casting until I went to college. And that's kind of where I got that experience. And my professor at the time was really good about seeing our strengths, whatever they were, and not forcing us all to do the same thing. And so she saw that I struggled on the wheel. I didn't really enjoy the wheel, but I really enjoyed the intricate, delicate parts working with my hands. And she really helped me enhance that through slip casting. And that's kind of how I discovered it. I've always loved history and different kind of historical aesthetics. And so when I learned that this was a pretty old technique anyway, that's kind of coming back, it hit a very kitschy kind of phase in the 60s and 70s. And thankfully, it's kind of coming back into the fine arts realm. I just fell in love with it. And I love the process. It's just a completely different way of looking at ceramics. You're always looking at positive and negative space. And I've got to make a mold where there won't be any undercuts, so I can pull the cast out cleanly. And there's all these different elements that you don't think about in hand building or wheel throwing, but it's required in ceramics. And so I really like that aspect, the technical, the clean lines, getting the same shape. I'm able to replicate things and then change them through the surface design. And that's usually where my focus is on that surface design. So I can get those quick shapes and then spend the time I have on the things I want to do. And so I kind of got into it in college, and then it's really just grown ever since, just from me experimenting on my own. Teaching classes, honestly, is a great way because I'm seeing what other people are doing, and they're asking questions of, you know, well, what happens if I do this? And it's like, well, I know the gist of what would happen, but let's try and see, you know, and just that community working in the studio and working with each other has really furthered my work as well, just as much as working by myself.
That's something I actually like about just the art community in general, is you guys are very open to try new things. And I think it's cool. I think sometimes, I mean, just even other occupations, they need to implement that and find the creativity. I mean, kind of what we were talking about earlier, they need to find that kind of creativity within their work, because that's what gives you the passion, the love to actually keep doing it and do great work. And
no, you're right. And the beauty of the ceramics community too is everyone wants to help so much. Yeah. It's like almost overwhelming how much everybody just wants to help you. And it's contagious too, you know, like, oh, I've got a tablecloth. You want to borrow this? Oh, I've got this recipe I really like for a glaze. I'll share it with you. And there's not really a lot of other art fields or other jobs where we're all pretty much competing for the same clients in a way. But we also are so kind to each other, you know, we're constantly helping and saying, oh, I did this show and it was really good. You should do it too. Instead of, I did this show, it's really good, and I'm going to keep it for myself and no one else will know and I'll get all the sales. That's not really how the ceramics community works. We're constantly, encouraging each other and helping each other, in all different aspects of the job business.
I think that's cool. Like I said, it's so cool that you do that, because like you said, I mean, I'll admit, I am a pretty competitive person. Like, I'm like, okay, I want to beat this person, right? And whatever it may be. But at the same time, it's like, you can still learn something from it. And I mean, I played some sports back in high school. And and the thing I would say is, every time before you, like, you would study for a game or something, you'd be studying your opponents. It's never like, oh, what can we do better? You're studying your opponents, like, hey, what are they doing? Oh, we should. And then maybe if it's a good coach, you're like, hey, that's a good idea. Maybe we should try that. And it's kind of that competitive nature can fuel great work. And I think that's what we all aspire to do, is just do great things and, you know, live a life of meaning, of purpose, and say, hey, like, the work I'm putting out there, people enjoy it, and I think it's great, and they think it's great. Like, I think helps people find a lot of source of meaning. And why would you waste it, is my question.
Yeah.
So for someone that wants to, I guess, maybe foster that community that we were talking about, or kind of implement that, maybe they're not like an they do art of any sort or anything, but maybe they're like in a boring job that tends to be known for not showing their creative side that often. How would you kind of, I guess, incentivize them to kind of, I guess, create that community to kind of invite creativity?
That's a great question. And I think that can be a lot of different things. I also have an 8-to-5. So right now I'm decorating the office for Christmas. I've cut out a lot of snowflakes and things. And I just can't help it. You know, my creativity just like somehow finds a way into everything. It kind of takes over. And so for listeners who are like that, don't be shy, like don't hide it if that's who you are. And the more I've embraced my creativity, like getting out of the academic setting, even though I went to school for ceramics, you know, there's still classes that you aren't allowed to really be creative in. And so getting out of that setting and really becoming my own and allowing myself to be as creative as I want has only fostered more creativity. I thought, you know, eventually I'd like calm down, but no, it just keeps getting more bigger and more prevalent in my life and all the areas of my life. And so if there's a listener who's like that, I would say do what you find joy in. If you like baking, then bring that to the office, let them try it and see how that goes. There's, you know, sharing is amazing how people just respond to that. And you might find someone else who also has a love of baking and then you can share recipes in that way, or like decorating the office or, there's so many different ways, even like musically, if you're allowed to play music in the office, you could find a fellow, follower of that band or different things like that. There's so many different ways you can get involved, and that's the beauty of creativity too. You know, like I can give you some ideas, but you know your environment and you know your creative passions, and the beauty of creativity is you can think of the ideas of how to implement them too. And so that's pretty much how I would encourage you, just finding different ways. And if it's not in the office like type setting, or maybe you can show something with your appearance, but if you're in some kind of uniform and you can't, there can always be ways outside of the workplace too, right? Just different ways with friends. Go caroling this Christmas. It doesn't matter how good you are, you know, it's just fun and it's dying art that is just so beautiful and people respect that so much. Caroling doesn't really happen anymore. And so of course you're going to make an impact if you do that. Just all different things like that. So many different ways. And now with social media, you don't even have to like leave your house to do anything. You just post it, right? It's all, it goes worldwide in a second.
And that's, there's pros and cons to that. But I think, I'm an optimist. I think there's a lot of good things that can come with out of that, and allows you to find a group of people with similar interests, similar ideas as you, and you can bounce it off each other.
Yeah. Well, I would say just don't be afraid to, like, if you're talking about that community of sharing that community space and encouraging others, and if people aren't really willing to do that for you, that might be something you can start. And in that way, like, don't be afraid, because I was afraid at first, you know, like, why would I give you my glaze recipe? Because this is what's working for me, you know, and I had to work on this. But just recognizing we're all so unique, even if someone tried to copy you, it's not going to be the exact same. And the beauty of art is if you are really trying to create this passion that you have, you're not copying, you know, like if you're really an artist, you're not copying somebody else. And so that's the beauty of it too. Not, being too worried, you know, I can use the same exact glaze recipe as everyone else in my studio and all of our pieces look completely different. And just recognizing that we're all unique in that way. And there should be enough respect between you to recognize I can use this, but I can make it my own as well.
I like that. I do. Well, Morgan, I don't want to take any more of your time. Thank you so much for coming on. I appreciate you sharing all this knowledge with me and for the listeners as well. If they want to find you and reach out to you, buy some of your artwork, check it out, your book you kind of mentioned as well, what's the best way that they can find that, reach out to you, whatever it may be?
I'll send you to my website. It's morganmccarver.com, and from there you can sign up for my newsletter, follow me on Instagram. You can go ahead and pre-order a copy of God the Artist, or you can shop my Etsy page. And you can also connect with me there, send me emails and different things. So I can't wait to hear from you guys. But my website, morganmccarver.com, is the best place to start. And thank you so much for having me on the show. This has been awesome.
Awesome. Thank you. Well, I appreciate it. So thank you for coming on. All right, everyone, as you can tell, that is Morgan McCarver. She's a very intelligent person, has great things to share. I challenge you guys, if anything spoke to you or anything incentivized you to be more creative, to reach out to her. I'm sure she'd be happy to chat with you and learn more about what you're working with. She dropped the website there for you guys to head to. Stay tuned till next week. We have a fantastic guest lined up. See you guys next week, and let's get after it. Hey everyone, if you liked this episode and would like to hear more, be sure to hit that subscribe or follow button. We release a new episode every Wednesday for you guys to listen to. Thank you guys so much for the support that you give. We could not have done this without you guys. If you would like to be a potential guest on the show, check out intelligentconvos.com and fill out the form there. Thank you guys again, and let's get after it.